It's the Dr. Fitness and the Fat Guy Show, making healthy living fun for everyone.
I want to congratulate you on the show. It's really great.
Well, thank you. That's great to hear.
And I actually have your book, You Can't Lose Weight Alone. I love it.
You guys are excellent. I check you guys out every week.
I love your show. And every week I learn something new, so I think it's great.
Well, thank you. We appreciate it.
Join Dr. Fitness.
You know, it's no longer a six-pack. No, it's the eight-pack and the 12-pack.
And the Fat Guys.
Or what I have, the pony keg.
They deliver the skinny on Getting Skinny.
Doctor, how are you doing today?
Lee, good to see you. Always a pleasure to be here.
Yes, no injuries on your part?
Oh, no, I have a little bit of injury. I don't know what happened.
What's the weekly
injury?
I
can't turn to the left.
Neck?
Neck can't turn to the left at all. A little bit tight going there.
Were you playing rugby? I hear rugby happens in your house.
No, lacrosse.
What's the sport you guys play?
Lacrosse. Yes, we just started playing lacrosse. Matter of fact, next weekend I'm going to be in Gulfport, Mississippi.
Big lacrosse town.
There's a lacrosse tournament for my son and myself. Not for me. I'm not playing. I'm just going there.
You're
to
the coach?
I'm going there to run.
Have you ever played?
I'll tell you the best thing about lacrosse, which I can't believe how much I love this sport. They have it's usually around a track. Like the fields are always around.
For you.
I know. So I always run while my kid's playing the sport. So
and
I,
then
you know,
you can say you're watching.
Exactly. I'll watch a little bit. Yeah. And then he's playing and I'm running. It's a win-win for everybody. You know, baseball sucks.
Right.
Baseball sucks because
they don't like you to run around the field.
There's really no place. You can't really run around. You can't run around the field.
The bases in between innings.
Yeah, you can't do that. So that's what I love about lacrosse. So I'm excited about that.
Well, I got some really bad news to report. Two bad things happened this week.
Two terrible things happened to you? Or is this people that we know?
People we know. They have Heart Attack Grill.
Yes. You posted something on our Facebook page,
Heart Attack Grill. Is they were just on the show.
Right, Basso. Mr. What's his name? John Basso. The
doctor,
owner of a...
Doctor.
Doctor, right. He's Dr. a... Basso. Right, Dr. Basso. Right.
The spokesperson, you have his name?
Yes, his name is Blair River. For people who did not listen to that show...
What? I don't
Heart Attack
about
Grill.
I only care about...
Tell them what the Heart Attack Grill is.
Heart Attack Grill is a restaurant in Arizona that is...
Designed...
Embraces obesity. And what they do is, if you're over 350 pounds, you eat for free.
Yeah, which is really...
I like that. That's great.
But you have to weigh in.
You have to weigh in after every burger.
There's nothing like weighing at a restaurant. There's nothing that having a scale at a restaurant to weigh in is always wonderful.
You know, in the kids' meal, they give you candy cigarettes. You know,
they're trying to facilitate obesity. Right.
And so their spokesperson is Blair, who was 28 years old, 29.
29.
And he weighed, what?
He was 6'8", 575. He was their model.
Spokesperson.
Spokesperson, model, whatever you want to call it.
And he died.
Yeah, he passed away, unfortunately.
Yes. Of natural causes.
Well, they say that they're saying that it was like from flu-like. It could have been from the flu.
Natural
or something.
Causes, that's what I'm saying. He was not.
I don't know. 6'8", 575, there's a good chance you died from obesity.
No, I don't want to jump to that
conclusion. You don't want to jump to that?
I think it was natural causes.
Natural causes. Okay, we'll go with that.
And then on another sad note.
Very much, but he was very loved.
I mean, we're making a little light of it, but it is sad that someone 28 years old dies of anything.
Look, we're not saying, but this, you know, we're making a joke out of obesity, but this guy died.
Right.
He passed away.
Serious business.
It's serious business.
Now, another sad note.
Charlie Sheen?
No, I'm not going to talk about Charlie
Yes,
Sheen.
You are. You're going to talk about Charlie Sheen
a little bit. No.
The guy still gets his workouts in. I got to respect him for that. The guy is still working out.
If you're manic,
with a cigarette.
Depressive.
With a cigarette.
Right. And something else.
Yeah.
Captain Crunch is going away.
Which one? Not the peanut butter. Hope not the
Captain
peanut butter.
Captain Crunch, the cereal.
I know, but there's a peanut butter crunch and then there's regular crunch.
Captain Crunch is going away.
I know, but I like the peanut butter crunch. I don't like the Captain Crunch.
I'm reading an article.
Yep.
Quietly sailing into retirement.
Really? Is that Kellogg's?
No, it's Quaker. That's owned by Pepsi. Pepsi's got...
Oh, you don't like them. You don't like Pepsi.
Care.
Yes, you
no,
do.
No, it's because of... Well, this is the collateral damage of this thing that they're going after.
What happened?
Sugar beverages. Well, guess that now they're going after sugar kids' meals. So they're not they're not allowing them to sell Captain Crunch to kids because it's got a little bit of sugar in it.
Yeah.
You know?
Unfortunately.
How much Captain Crunch? I bet you had your share of Captain Crunch
when
I
was a kid. Yes.
Exactly.
I love Captain Crunch.
Now,
but I love peanut butter crunch. That I'll still
look. And now
eat that.
Your kids' kids are not going to be able to have that same enjoyment that you had.
But let me ask you this. So let's say, for instance, Captain Crunch, I don't know how many grams of sugar it has per...
Allegedly, it has quite a bit.
I know, but let's say Wheaties has... So let's say one has 24 grams, Wheaties has 29, you know, or maybe 19 or 18. I mean, is it being taken off the shelves because of it has the high sugar, or just because it's not popular anymore?
No, it's not that. It's because now they can't sell to kids, they can't advertise it, so they're having difficulty then in the marketing of it. So then they're saying, why bother?
Is this government? Are you talking about government now? Are we getting into the government?
They're trying to be proactive.
Stuff?
I think they're trying to get ahead of it because you know the government is around the corner with the
yeah.
And so,
you know when this is going to become serious?
A sad day.
You know
when
this
Captain
is,
Crunch Lee, walks the plank.
You know when this is going to become serious business for us? You know
it
when
already
this,
is. It, no. This crossed the line for me.
No.
Captain
if
Crunch.
If they start getting into pizza, we are going to have to, we're going to bear arms. Yeah. We're going to bear arms. If all of a sudden they start going after pizza joints, forget it, buddy.
First the cigarettes, then the soda, now Captain Crunch. What's next?
The apocalypse. That's
pastrami?
What it sounds like.
When they go after pastrami, doctor, that's when you're going to be...
Yes.
Not a happy guy.
Listen, I think, Lee, next week, I'm not sure. I'm almost positive. Next week, we have on our show Sam Tickle. You know who Sam Tickle is?
No, is that one of the
That's the guy
Teletubbies?
Who's doing that, the Unstoppable Tour on ESPN. You'll see those commercials, the 30 sports in 30 days. I think he's an ex-special ops officer, or Navy SEAL guy who's...
Oh, so
doing,
we made a business decision now to talk about next week's guest before they actually appear.
I figured to give it a shot. I give it a shot.
I don't know about this.
You don't want to do that? Well, you know what? The week after that, Charlie Sheen is going to be on our show.
I can't wait for that.
Also, remember coming up
John
in
John Cryer on.
John
I want
Cryer?
His take on this.
Yeah. He's a troll, I think. I don't know. It's unbelievable he's going after
he's
John Cryer.
He's winning.
In May, Lee, we are going to be in Baltimore, Maryland at FitBlog in 2011.
Headlining.
We are the keynote speakers there, and that's all the top bloggers across the country that we're going to be there.
Several hundred, I think 300 or something.
Right. And we'll be in Baltimore, Maryland chatting with our fans, our friends out there. So, you know, if
you're going to, are you going to wear the new t-shirt I had made?
Oh yeah. Should we talk about t-shirts?
I think we should.
The new Dr. Fitness and the Fat Guy t-shirts. Now, I noticed that you...
look how big... That's actual size of you.
I can see. I wish... You know how much I love huge logos.
I know. I tried to make it bigger, but that was as big as they made it.
Right. In an XXL, it would have worked.
It would have to go around the size.
And on the back, it says, I lost a pound listening to Dr. Fitness and the Fat Guy. Yes. And our website. Very good. This is I like that very
oh, you
much.
Like the back?
I like the back. Can I... Can I get one with this as the front and
yes.
And put the big thing on the back?
Yeah,
can
we're doing that? It's a remember Quisp and Quake? You remember that cereal?
No,
it's before your time. Quisp and Quake were two.
What do you mean before my time? We're the same age. What do you mean?
Plus or minus 5 years.
Okay, 5 years.
So, Quisp and Quake were two cereals. Since we're in the cereal mode, and there was a competition. Who liked? If you like Quisp, you vote for Quisp. Vote for Quake, and then the loser disappeared.
Okay.
So Quake no longer exists. Quisp you can still find.
Yep.
So we're going to do that with these t-shirts.
That's what we're going to do?
As soon as your version eventually comes out.
You know what? Nothing's easy when it comes to t-shirts, man. You think t-shirts are easy, but we are very particular about our shirts.
Yes.
The logos, the way they feel, we want them to be perfect.
Yes. So now we have my version that I developed and
That's
designed
right.
and
That's
had printed. And they exist in real life. In
Very
your,
good.
As opposed to your vaporware t-shirt that may or may not exist.
Well, we will see. We will see, Lee. There's an article I want to talk about as well. I got an email from our buddy from Eating Well magazine, Nikki Miko. And she sent me this and she was like, can you please talk about this? And you know what? I love when other people do my work, when I don't have to research stuff every week. If our fans can just go out there and just send me articles, that really saves time for me.
Exactly.
You know, I love it when when a big article shows up in my my mailbox. I'm like, oh, this is good. I'm going to talk about this. It's called Gene Tests Label Kids Sports Stars. And this is about those, these are those genetic testing mail order kits.
Oh, so then you know if you should push your kid into
right,
a sport or
right.
not.
Right. So apparently.
You can do a blood test at birth?
No, it's not
umbilical
even.
Cord?
It's not a blood test. It's just a cheek swab. And what they're looking for, this one in particular, is looking for a gene called ACTN3. And this is they're looking for a certain protein involved with muscle activity that is for explosive bursts of sports. So, so you can test your kid for like $200 or $169. There's these kits that you can take your kid and see if they have this gene. So guess what, Lee? Where do you think this is going to go to?
I think it's great. I bet the Russians have been doing this forever.
You think this is great? This is...
How much time would you save? If your kid doesn't have the sport gene, look how many hours you've spent in front of watching those kids play
this
sport.
Is the exact problem with it because first of all, there are gene variants and there are things that inhibit the production of the protein even if you have the gene for it. So it's not... First of all, 80% of the population has this gene.
At least eliminate 20%.
80% has it, right?
All right?
So what are you testing? You're testing for nothing. And here's what you're doing. You're giving kids the false pretense that if they have this, that they have the chance of becoming an Olympic star. So
80% of us have that chance. What's wrong with that?
Right. No, I think this is and the thing that's great about this is that because they're not making any medical claims, this is not governed by the FDA.
I don't have a problem with this.
Well, no, because, you know, you can test for certain genetic other things about, you know, for a gene test, you know, like for certain diseases and stuff like that. You can check what are the probabilities of getting certain things. And that's when the FDA gets involved, when there's anything medically related. But this isn't. This is just checking for just for performance. So it's not FDA regulated. So for your kids out there. I want to steer them away from stuff like
this.
This is not
good. You know
what?
There's another test you can do. Is just have your kid run backwards. Okay?
See if
that's
they can
another
run backwards
test.
Or
if they
forwards?
Can't run backwards, then you know that they're not going to make it in the Olympics either.
Well, the problem with this is that you may be steering your kid into a certain sport based upon some genetic test, and you make
can
keep
they
them
do
away
it by specific sport.
Well, I'm sure. No, don't worry. I'm sure the parents are already doing stuff like that now. So,
why don't you swab your kid, see if he has a lacrosse gene?
No, my kids are, I can tell, they don't have the right genes. I can tell right out of the gates. So
they're overachievers.
Yeah, so I definitely want parents, don't spend the $200, stay away from this. And
or send it, not send really the $200 to Dr. Fitness and he'll assess your kid.
Right, this could be that thing that we talked about. This is that great aha moment, Lee, that we were trying to figure out something that people can do.
Genetics. That has a high perceived value.
It does. That's going to be the future. And also, Lee, there is someone out there. We talked about this before the show. There's a woman. We got to get her on the show. Her name is Diana Hardiman, based out of New York City. And she has created this is a great idea. She's created her own brand of ice cream called Milkmaid. Have you heard about this?
Yes.
And
I'm on the list.
Apparently, she has a waiting list of 1,500 names long, people that, and I think it's like $15 to $17 a pint for a certain ice cream. And the flavors that she have she has.
Are you just doing this just to get some free ice cream? That's what it sounds
I'm not
like.
An ice cream guy. I don't really care about ice cream. That doesn't
matter. Then why we're wasting time with this chick?
What do you mean why we're wasting our time? I mean, for the free. I thought you like ice cream.
I do. But
so I'm doing it for you.
Thanks.
What was that ice cream place that was in Tower Records that you used to like a lot?
Jake's.
Are they still around or they went out? They went away?
I don't know. Maybe there's one left.
There's only...
I think they overexpanded.
Oh, that was the problem? They overexpanded?
It wasn't their quality, I'll tell you that.
Oh, okay. So she has... These flavors are like red velvet cake, salted caramel, twist and stout.
We don't have to go after her unless somebody, one of our listeners knows her.
No, this is a great idea. This is something
she... Speaking of New York, our big event...
Yeah.
In New York.
What about we haven't even announced our big event yet.
Okay. We're going to tease that for next time until it's official.
Well, no. Tell everybody about our big event.
We're going to be in New York in May.
Is this for the regular people? I thought this was for celebrity people.
I don't care who shows up. I'm not a snob.
I know.
Like some of us
no,
are.
The funny thing is you don't care because you don't talk to anybody. You're going to be like in a corner like, oh, don't bother me. I know how you're going to set this thing up.
We're talking to our buddy at Tavalon Tea in New York City, and we're coming to New York.
We're going
to
be at Bloomingdale's, right?
No,
is that where we're going to be?
We're not announcing the location.
We're not going to be at Bloomingdale's?
No.
Are you sure? That's what I heard.
No. No, we're definitely
What's the name of that place in Bloomingdale's?
I'm not telling you. You don't know how to do this. That I know. That we've
really?
Established.
Really? I don't know. Okay. So tell me.
We're going to be somewhere in New York.
We're going to be somewhere in New York.
We're announcing.
On the Upper East Side.
I'm not telling you where it is.
Okay. But I know it's near the park, Central Park. I know it's somewhere close by there.
No, you don't. I guess you haven't heard the latest, obviously, and you're making yourself look extremely silly every word.
Go ahead.
Our Tavalon Tea buddy, John Paul. What's the last name? I know it's John Paul
Lee.
Lee. Figures. I don't remember his last name. That's great. John Paul has putting together a location to have a doctor, fitness, and the fat guy meet up where we hang out. And he's looking for a healthy location, healthy selling location. And he's in charge of this. And we're going to do it on, what date is it? The 14th?
No, 15th? The 15th. April 15th.
In the evening sometime, because we're on a panel during the afternoon, and then we'll be available in the evening. So it's going to be awesome. So everybody, all of our New York fans are going to be there, and then some of our...
I'm trying to get the nutrition twins to come out there.
Oh, that'd be great.
We haven't met them. It's been a long time.
Right, that'd be great.
That could have been one of my wives. If I didn't get married, I could have had a nutrition twin.
You had two shots at it. You blew it.
No, one was already married.
Okay. All right, let's get to our guest.
All right, I'm excited to talk to today. We have in the studio, you know, Lee, not very often we have guests in the studio. It's always great to have people
it's
here.
It's because of what you wear.
That's right. And we problem. Have with us the race director of the Georgia Marathon. Jeff Graves is with us today, and we're going to be talking about the Georgia Marathon. Jeff, welcome to the show.
Thanks.
Now, the Georgia Marathon, first of all, is it really 26.2? Is it?
There's a rumor that it was 25.
You know, and let me, do you get any of the nut jobs at the end of the race where they go, wait a minute, they look at their watch, they go, I'm just checking, is this legit and stuff like that? Because, you know, when it comes to marathon people, Jeff.
Absolutely.
It does happen. Doesn't happen?
It happens every race.
Really? There's always somebody going, is this really? Because I ran about a minute and five faster than my best.
It's probably slower.
What they usually think is the course is long. Because most of the time when you're running in a race, you're not running the tangents. You're not going the way that course is exactly measured. I mean, we're taking the shortest route possible. And if you're running behind somebody, you're dodging, you're moving around.
Right.
If you got to go to a water station to the side. So then they come back and like, well, the course is long. It's got to be long. No, you just didn't run the exact tangents.
Right.
So, no, it is measured. It is certified. And it is 26.2. And also there's the 13.1.
Okay. Now, how many years has the Georgia Marathon been around? And I know this big sponsor this year is Publix.
Publix, yes. Publix Georgia Marathon.
This is the first year for Publix. Right?
First year for Publix, yep. This is the fifth year for the race. So it's our fifth year anniversary. So excited about that. We should have a record crowd of over 18,000 folks.
Holy smokes.
And everybody that comes across that finish line, Publix is going to give them a nice
birthday. Turkey? They got a turkey or something?
No, you know, instead of a cake, we're doing cupcakes for everybody. So everybody's going to get a cupcake in celebration of our...
That's awesome.
How many calories?
Not less than they're not worrying about calories when they're coming across the finish line.
They'll burn that off.
Right, exactly.
They'll be gone.
Absolutely. So now, this is your fifth year. Where is the course going to? Where does it go through with Atlanta?
We start right in front of the CNN building there at the Omni Hotel.
Oh, that's
nice. Right on Marietta. We go through the Georgia State campus. We go by the Martin Luther King Historical Site. We go by the Jimmy Carter Center. And keep winding our way around through the colleges, through Emory, and come back through Georgia Tech, and finish up coming down Marietta, and then turn on Andrew Young and finish right there.
So it's still predominantly in the city?
Oh, it's absolutely
the whole thing is in the city?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, that's kind of cool. I like. Is it a loop, or is it meaning? Is it one course, or do you have to go around the same thing?
No, it's one. It's one course.
Oh, that's
so
good. Yeah,
you're not going
in
circles.
Yeah, you don't want to do that. That'll drive someone crazy.
Absolutely.
Wow. And is it the same? Has it been the same course for the last 5 years now?
No,
has it changed?
It's changed every year. If you remember, in year number two is the tornado year.
Oh,
so that year the course got completely changed. Literally. The night before they were
was it the night before the event was about to start? Is that when the tornado hit? Because it hit right in downtown.
Yes, they were having to change the course the night before and recertify. So this is the second year we've run this exact course, and the half and the full run together, and then obviously we got to split off the half and bring them back, but then they join back up for the last couple miles.
Cool. So. Now, what are some of the things that people don't know about that goes into creating an event and directing the event? What are some of the things that people don't know behind the scenes that go into an event?
My favorite question is always, are you going to run?
Right. That's why you got into it, right, is to run the race.
Yeah, because it's just going to run on itself. I mean,
right.
Don't worry about it. Okay, we're going to do the starting gun. You guys just all go and we'll join
Take
in.
Care
the
of
whole them. Staff runs.
Yeah.
We're all the volunteers, we're all running.
Yeah. You bring up a good point. One of the biggest things is people don't understand the number of people it takes to produce this. We've got over 2,400 volunteers to produce an event like this. So it's all the recruiting of the volunteers, the training of them, making sure they're all in their proper places and ready to go on race day. So we have a volunteer coordinator that concentrates on making all that happen. So when all the participants come on race day, everything is set to go. So it's so important to have those volunteers so you can do everything the way you want to and pull off a fantastic event.
Now, it seems that running over the years, you know, back in like when marathons first started back in the 70s, they still, you know, they're getting more and more popular. But now it seems like so many people have done marathons, the specialty of saying I ran a marathon, you know, almost like everybody's run a marathon nowadays.
Well, and especially half marathons. That's marathons, you know, we'll have around 4,000 people in the marathon, but the half is really where...
The half is where that's that we're all the most...
You know, marathons are fantastic and what an accomplishment to do, but it also takes a lot of time to train and people are, you know, seeing that, oh, the half...
I can still I can do the half. I can still have a life. I'm not. You don't have to. I don't have to get crazy about doing getting a certain amount of mileage each week. And
but there are those marathon junkies that are out there that are running a marathon a couple of weekend. You know, going from city to city. And it's like, holy cow!
Right.
Where's your life?
Do you help a person with a training plan? Is that part of the experience when you guys?
We don't, but we have other people that do. There's a lot of good training programs offered in the city. And we definitely help steer them to the proper ones. And we do have training runs. We have a training run on Saturday morning, 8 o'clock, and people get out there and do their miles. And it's, you know, what we're seeing is so many more people doing it, and it's a social event.
Right.
They're out there in their groups of women traveling around the country. We have 50 states represented in 20 countries.
Right.
So it is a big deal, and it is a social event. And as you said, in the 70s, that's when it all kind of kicked off with the Frank Shorters and the Bill Rogers out there doing their things, and it kind of went for a peak and then kind of went down and kind of leveled off. And now in the late 90s through the 2000, you know, 11 now, we're still the trend.
Right.
It just keeps trending up.
Now, is there a movement, you know, because now it's like, because 26.2 used to be such a daunting task. Now you have guys like Dean Karnazes who has made ultra distance running like a sport where to go out and run 40, 50 miles in a day is like nothing. Is there any movement? Have you seen anything about trying to extend the distance even a little bit further past 26.2?
To 26.3.
I mean, you are seeing those ultra marathons, the 50 milers, the 100 milers. It's like, I mean, the number of people that can do that just keeps dropping.
Right. I mean, that's not for that. That's not. But I can't imagine that.
But
being,
there are definitely more and more of those
folks showing up.
Absolutely.
Right.
But you know, the half marathon is the hot distance.
That's the sweet
out
spot.
Out of the 18,000, 4,000 are marathoners, 14,000 are half.
What about for like the fat guy, the fun run, the 1 mile fun run? He likes that because he's trying to get to the, you know, once you're done with the marathon, you have the tables around where they give out the free food and stuff. He's the guy who always shows up at those things after the mile and starts pigging out.
I want to run a K.
Well, you know,
1K.
We do have the kids run, and that's the day before. You have to be 10 and younger, but we may be able to sneak you into that.
Yeah, we get them to shave, too. Shave
absolutely.
Before the show.
You know, we have the 5K the day before also. These both take place at Grant Park. The 5K, we have a neat promotion. Carhu, which is one of our sponsors, Carhu Craft Shoe Apparel sponsor, they have a bear mascot. And they're going to have this bear at the start line. And if you can beat the bear back to the finish line running a 5K, you'll win a free pair of Carhu shoes.
You can beat the bear.
I don't know.
Can you take on the bear?
Can you take on a costume bear?
Yeah, come on. That should be.
It's a mascot. Come on.
He's in a costume. He's in a mascot. He's got to be sweating like an animal, that thing.
That guy Bolt that's in there.
Oh, Usain Bolt?
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's he's short distance.
He couldn't make it.
You can take him in the 5K.
5K?
I think you should take it on.
I'm shooting for 1K.
Well, then that's the kids' run. That's definitely the kids' run.
Now, Jeff, when it comes to the events, the high-profile events like the Publix Georgia Marathon, do you get a lot of people coming out to these events because of the top elite runners in the events that show up at these things? Is that like a big draw for people? Or is that just kind of like, you know, does anybody really care about the top-level runners going to an event? Or do they care about the event per se?
obviously in New York, that's a big deal, all the top runners. We took a different approach here. We're more about the everyday person. We didn't go after the top elites from around the world.
Right.
We're concentrating on Georgia and the Southwest region. So there'll be good runners out there that will do some impressive times, but they're not that's not the focus of why people come out to the Georgia Marathon.
Right.
They come out to support their loved ones and be part of the experience. I mean, if you've never been to a start line of a marathon, half marathon, it is one of the coolest. It will give you chills to see everybody and think about these people, all the hours and time they have put in training, and now they're going off on their journey to complete.
And then the other thing, too, is, you know, one of the things that's great about races, such like the one you're talking about, once it's been around, it's been established, it becomes a tradition.
Absolutely.
And that's what people love. You know, I back in New Jersey when I grew up, they had the Asbury 10K and the Belmar 5. And, you know, I used to run those with my friends because it was an event. It was fun. I mean, it was just you wanted to be there. You didn't really care how fast you ran it or, you know, what happened. But
you cared.
I did care. I did care.
But
it was a tradition.
It is a tradition. And you can't sometimes you can't do it every year, but you take off a year. But we do have a neat thing this year. Don't take this the wrong way. We have streakers this year. We have those people.
They just show up.
The people that are on a streak of running the event
every
year.
Oh, those are streakers.
Those type of streakers.
Yeah, not the naked.
No.
Okay.
I'm offended by that.
Yeah.
I wasn't offended by the nudity.
We got 1,100 people that have run the race every year.
Right.
So we're doing something special and taking care of our streakers. And we have streakers that are volunteers. We have streakers that are runners. So it's pretty neat that they have been able to make it every year to the event. And hopefully we'll be able to keep those numbers up.
Now, you know, like how at the Boston Marathon, they have the people that crash into
what
it.
What are they called? They're called something.
They're called something. They just show up and they run it. They're not.
Bandits.
Bandits.
Right.
Do you aspire someday to have so many bandits at the Publix Georgia Marathon where it's like it's become like the Boston Marathon where the people are like, I got to get into this thing.
You never want bandits, but how you get bandits is it's a tough race to get into. We're still in a growing phase and still can take a lot more people as we keep moving year to year.
Right.
But sure, every race would love to be a race that people, it's sold out. You
right.
have people. And we're going to be real close this year to sell out. And how you figure a sellout is every year you keep growing a little bit, making sure you're safely taking care of, you know, can the streets handle it? Can medical handle it? And, you know, to a point then you hit a point where, okay, we can't take any more.
Yeah.
And Boston has hit that point. So, yeah, bandits for them is huge because they sell out so quickly.
Sure.
We're not to that point yet, but that's where we're going.
Cool. That's
and who in your staff drives the poop out bus?
Now,
would you like to do that?
Yeah.
That's called the sag wagon.
That's my dream job.
Well, Lee thought of a great this would be a great thing to have is to have someone that's kind of steering people off the event. Like, come on, you know, having like a megaphone.
It's like
going,
an ice cream truck.
Yeah, going, listen,
it's air conditioned in here.
Don't laugh. We have been to events where the time limit allows for people to, you know, pretty much stroll, and they'll go into Starbucks or Dunkin' Donuts and grab some
meal.
Food.
You're kidding me.
No,
you're
like,
kidding me. People get off the course and go get something to eat.
Not in our event because of our time limit, but yeah, in other events. So
I've never heard of that. That's great.
What? Get a meal.
Man,
stop.
You would do that.
Away.
You would definitely do that.
Do you pass a Fellini's?
Yeah. There's a guy out there, John Bingham, the Penguin. And he's all about the back of the Packers guys and just having fun back there. And, you know, we have a group that's at the back of the pack. They're our back of pack and they're a cheerleading group, but they're keeping everybody moving along.
Forward.
Yep. And if you can't keep
going.
Up, then it's time to hop on the bus or move to the sidewalk. So
now, do you guys do any events, anything like leading up the night before? Do they have an expo or do they have bands that show up at the after event, stuff like that?
Yep.
We have
a 2-day packet pickup expo that's at the Georgia Dome. So that's on Friday and Saturday. There's all kinds of speakers there. Carhu Craft will be doing a fashion show, showing the latest running gear. There'll be over 100 vendors at that. So that's open to the public.
And that's at the Georgia Dome.
Yeah, it's at the Dome on the Dome floor.
Wow.
So that's a pretty neat thing. So
yeah.
We encourage people to come down to the Dome. They can get all the information about the race at GeorgiaMarathon.com. So that's where they should go to find out all the hours, who the vendors are, and what's going on. So that's a fun thing to do. Lots of excitement with all the participants doing that. And then after the race, yeah, we'll have a great band on the stage. We'll have a big screen that's showing the finish line. There's all kinds of free stuff going to be going on there, from free massages to the cupcakes and all kinds of sampling. And it will just be a fun time. Hopefully we'll have beautiful weather. That's one thing we haven't hit on yet, is just that day of perfect weather.
What have you speaking of the weather, what can you expect March 20th? What has it been like in the past so far?
It's been pretty cool and pretty, damp.
So it might be a rainy day.
There's nothing wrong with cool.
Right, but damp is a problem because of your feet.
Yeah, damp isn't any fun when it's cool.
Right.
So we're hoping for, if we had temperatures in, low 50s, a little cloud cover, perfect running weather. No humidity. So humidity, even on, a cool day, can take it out of you.
Absolutely.
Now, let's talk about this after race. Is there any way of knowing that you really completed this?
What do you mean?
In order
that?
To show up to get the free cupcakes.
Oh, you're thinking.
What time should I be there?
Are you
to get
thinking
the free
about
cupcakes?
Being a? I know they have streakers.
He's going to be a cupcake bandit.
Yeah, a cupcake guy. That's what he's looking at. Cupcakes.
What time should I be there for that?
Unbelievable.
Listen, Jeff. I'm telling you, this is the thing. He's always looking away to cut corners.
Do you have a picture that we can put up at the cupcake tent so
they know who he's showing up?
Absolutely.
Well, look, I can't. He has a suit too. He puts on. I can't.
I'm gonna be dressed.
He'll be in the Car Who Bear suit. So when the bear comes around, do not let the bear have a cupcake. That's what you're saying.
So a lot of fun there. It sounds like people hang out at the event.
Absolutely.
After the race.
Absolutely.
So they hang out, they eat, there's stuff there to do, and you get a massage. And I guess, are the families allowed to hang out
as
well?
The whole Centennial Olympic Park is open to the public.
It's actually in the park.
Yeah,
that's where everybody
dumps right into the park. There's a family reunion area where we put up alphabetical signs so that you can hook up with your family, because you imagine 18,000 people and all the spectators, that can get a little confusing. So there's a lot to do, like I said, from sampling going on to merchandise sales to the free massages, cupcakes, bands, big screens, a lot of vendors out there showing off their stuff. So lots of free things happening down there.
Now, the big question before we let you go, what about the T-shirts? Has that become an issue now, the design of the T-shirt? Is that how important now is this T-shirt become? Because we know how important it is to the races like the Peachtree Road Race, but has this become an art form for you guys as well?
There's two reasons people run races. They want the T-shirt and they want the medal.
Why is that? Well, the medal is kind of cool. You can frame the medal, but what is it about the T-shirt?
The T-shirt's a badge of honor, though, that they can wear everywhere and say,
I did it.
I did it. Look
right,
which is great because it's a marketing piece for us. So we obviously want to make the best T-shirt we possibly can.
Right, but you know what happens though. The T-shirt becomes one thing, but once they see a guy like you walking around with the jacket that's like, where do I get the jacket? They want to know where
you go to the merchandise tent and buy it, of course. So, the T-shirt for this year, we do tech shirts instead of cotton shirts because that's what all the runners want, are the tech shirts.
Really?
Yeah.
The tech shirts now have surpassed cotton.
Oh, absolutely.
Lee?
Yep.
Again, a sign of the apocalypse. We love the cotton, but I guess the cotton's
For runners, if they're going to, afterwards go to the health club or going to go run it,
they want the
tech.
Okay.
Absolutely. Wow. So you have...
Wicking. They need the wicking.
They need the wicking. So tech shirt. Being that this is our first year with Publix, we went with the logo and then some enhancements to the logo. So the shirts
lights?
Looks really
Does it have lights.
Yeah, lights,
for
camera,
night?
Action.
Doesn't have for nighttime running. You have lights. Public logo lights.
It's a glowing
just
shirt.
A suggestion.
It's green.
Just
green.
A suggestion.
It's a green. The public lights light up. Okay.
So the shirt looks great. The medals look awesome. If you run the marathon, you get a bigger medal than the half marathon. But they're both big, nice-looking medals.
What about nipple chafing? I know
issue
for the doctor.
Yes, I'm sure they got a lot of Body Glide. That they probably have a Body Glide tent at the event, I bet.
I was at an event last weekend, and this is the first time I've seen it, but the doctor for the event was walking around before the event. Anybody need Vaseline, aspirin? And he had his Vaseline and rubber gloves.
Absolutely.
And like,
getting ready. People getting ready. I know. There's nothing that look for those first time marathoners. They've never gotten any of that nipple chafing. They look like she got shot with a gun while they're running. They're like, what happened to me? You got to take care of that.
They're not aware of that.
That's another reason for the tech shirts, right?
Yes. And the worst part of that, and yeah, cotton's horrible for that. The worst part of that is when you go home and take the shower.
Oh, yeah. That burns.
The burns.
Yeah, that's crazy. So, yeah. Now, do you go around the country observing other events and see what they do to get ideas on how to make things? But what are some of the cool things that you've seen around there that you're like, man, if you go to this one over here, this is really cool because of this. What are some really unique things that you've seen around the country?
We absolutely travel around and try and see what's the best things that are people
best
that are
practices,
doing. Yeah,
right?
Best practices. And, you know, the one thing we always come back to, you can have a lot of flash. You can have a lot of, you know, lights, camera, action. Like the Vegas Marathon had tigers at the
opening.
So
that helped motivate the runners.
Yeah, I mean, so there's that, but
let them loose on the course.
we still come back to, you know what? You want to make sure the water's taken care of.
You got
enough volunteers that your tables are spread out far enough to serve those water. That when you come to gear check, you can get your stuff quickly or drop it off quickly. We still come back to the little things matter.
The blocking and tackling.
Absolutely. So there'll be some flash at the race, absolutely. But if we deliver a great race where the runners can easily find their way around, start smooth, that everything along the course runs well, they get a great medal, a t-shirt, post-race party's fun, they'll walk away with a big smile on their face, and hopefully we'll have good weather.
Right. Now, I know like at places like the Rock and Roll Marathons where they have like a rocket, they have some sort of band set up at each station, and that gets people fired up to get a little bit of music in there. Is there anything people can look forward to, any surprises that people may find at the Georgia?
Well, you don't want to tell
them the surprises. I know, but I'm saying if there's something that there's a surprise that they, you know, that might happen.
At mile mark 8.
Yes, something.
Be on the lookout.
This year we've encouraged, we have a competition with our water station. So they'll all be vying for some financial benefits for their favorite charity. And they'll be able to dress up, and we'll have runners out there and volunteers checking on what they're doing. But we're trying to make it more of a party out there. I mean, we've seen things from Buffett parrot head groups out there having fun, but some crazy things that helps take your mind off, because you're absolutely right. When you're running that kind of distance, you know, it gets long, and you know, there obviously are beautiful things to see in the city, but it's nice to have some other things going. Absolutely.
Now, Lee, you read something about the event that was on there about discouraging headsets or something like that. Was there something that you saw?
Yeah, on the frequently asked questions, you discourage headsets. And why is that?
The reason we discourage
Because of muggings? You want to be, if somebody's going to mug you, you want to make sure, in Atlanta, you want to make sure you're always ready for them.
Just so you're aware of your surroundings.
I gotcha. Right.
Just so you're
is
aware.
Is that like your lawyer made you do that?
Yeah.
That
sounds
like
right, you want to be right. It's a legal issue. You want to make sure that
no headphones.
But you can, you know, if you get a little, you need a little Springsteen in the background.
No, they have to listen to our show. You know how many runners
listen
to our show?
That's right.
Look at the promotion this could be for you guys.
Absolutely,
we should be giving away headphones with our show on them.
You should have
blasting it.
You
right
should
along
have a booth
way
at the expo and be giving away headphones and have it programmed only to your
that
show.
That sounds like a great idea, Jeff.
Just
that's
episode
great
episode. Right.
Now, before you leave us, can you tell us anything that, you know, some of the unexpected things that have happened? Anything funny that's happened during the event that you were like, you know what, that's the first time. I didn't think that was going to happen. Anything like that that's
someone
popped up?
Someone gave birth during the race.
We did have a couple things. Well, the tornado was
right. You never expect a tornado
to come through and change
the course.
Last year, we're at the Chicago Half Marathon, which is owned by U.S. Road Sports also, and we're driving the lead vehicle, and I've got my spotter, and I'm looking in the mirror for the lead runner behind me, and all of a sudden,
he's gone.
He's gone.
You lost him.
I was like.
Alien.
Where'd he go?
He dropped
alien
off.
Abduction.
I mean, he's gone. He
really?
Is just gone.
And you can't find him.
And we can't find him. So we slow up, and the guy who was in second finally catches up to us. And all of a sudden, the spotter looks back, and he goes, he went into the porta potty.
Oh, he dropped off because he had to go to the bathroom.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
He didn't do a Greta Waits.
No. He had to hit the restroom.
Right.
So that was a first that.
It lost him the race. Did he catch up to the number two guy?
He caught up again.
Wow.
He disappeared again.
Oh, my God. He had to go to the bathroom again.
Yeah, so he had a few issues that morning. So that was a first to be have a lead. And he was well ahead. And all of a sudden.
Talk about a bad day.
Yeah.
That's not fun.
Yeah. After the race, I caught up to him. And I said, "What happened?" He goes, "I just wasn't feeling well today."
Man, that's unbelievable. Yeah. And he was considerate. He was considerate. Yeah. That was the one thing about him. And wow, that's interesting. And I guess things like that, Mother Nature comes into play when you're running. You just don't know what to expect. But you now, are you allowed to actually? Is the course? Can you go out and run the course or see the course or do people? Drive the course just to be, to understand the surroundings, where they're going to be?
Absolutely. We were out last year. This coming Sunday, we'll do it again. We'll go out and we'll mark all the mile markers and everything. And inevitably, somebody will be out there and they'll kind of see us because we'll have official vehicle and everything. And you'll see they've got a question. Sure enough, they got the course map and they're driving it in advance. But sure, people go out there and do practice runs on it and just get used to where everything is. But we don't do any formal tour and anything like that. But absolutely, people are open to go out there and run.
Great. So. Well, it sounds like a great event. We're talking to Jeff Grace, the race director for the Georgia Marathon, the Publix Georgia Marathon. It takes place on March 20th. It's going to be next weekend, right?
Next weekend. Registration's still open, so we're still accepting.
Still can show up even at the last minute. That'd be great. And if you want more information, you go to georgiamarathon.com.
Absolutely.
Awesome. Well, Lee, we may have to do a marathon. I mean,
we have the tandem bike. After the marathon.
We have the tandem. Party. I know. Jeff, he always talks about after not doing it. I'm always encouraging to do the things. I need another fat guy that's a little bit more active. I need an active fat guy is what I need, Jeff. But anyway, thank you so much for coming on the show today.
Thank you so much, guys.
All right. Make sure you go check out the Publix Georgia Marathon at georgiamarathon.com. And make sure when you're online also check out Dr. Fitness and the Fat Guy at drfitnessandthefatguy.com. Check out our new book, Lee, 35 Things to Know to Raise Active Kids.
Wow, you got it right.
I spelled it right?
That was good.
Perfect.
That was amazing.
By Turner Publishing. Check it out. Some great ideas. Running is actually one of those things. There's nothing better.
It's nice to do events.
This is one of those events. And exactly. You should take your kid. There's nothing better to experience activity than with your parents, with your kids together, everybody, the whole family doing it. I'm actually trying to get my kids to do more stuff like that, to train for events.
I'm trying to get your kids to do it too.
Exactly. All right, Lee. So make sure are you going to go out there March 20th? You're going to be out there?
You know I will.
You're going to definitely be out
when
there.
When I say that, you know I won't. Just want to be clear. I don't want to misrepresent anything.
Absolutely. Okay, Lee. Yeah, anything else before we go
wrap the show up?
Okay. For Lee Cantor, I am Dr. Adam Schaffern. Every week we are making healthy living
fun for everyone.
We'll see you next time.